Madison Clay and the Onyx Stone. Written by Jeffrey David Mantegna. Narrated by Victoria Rani. Chapter 1. Launch Day. Madison studied the drawings as if she knew every artist personally. Every inch of the dry erase board had been filled with sketches of varying colors. Everything from monkeys in spacesuits to shuttles orbiting the Earth dotted the stark white background. The simplistic artwork with its anatomically incorrect figures made it evident that young children had created them. Others were the work of older kids with more skill, like herself.
"Are you coming?"
her mother asked.
"In a minute,"
Madison answered, without taking her eyes off the board. Her mother sighed and turned away.
"Don't dawdle too long," she said,
as she continued to the observation room of NASA's Launch Control Center.
"There are too many ghosts in these drawings."
The echoes of her mother's footsteps faded as she turned a corner. Standing alone in the hallway, Madison stared at the whiteboard for a while, before slowly touching the glass that preserved the delicate, erasable ink. Under her fingers was a crude drawing of a man in a spacesuit, waving. This sketch had been drawn at the bottom of the board, where a 7-year-old could reach. The artist had placed a big smile across the spaceman's face, and the message, "Be safe, Dad," was written above his head. Madison slid her hand to the bottom corner where the artist had signed his name with the awkward print of a second grader, Michael Clay. Madison's eyes glassed over as she whispered, "Dad." A pain rose in Madison's chest as she read the date on the brass plate mounted at the bottom of the display. It was January 26, 1988, the day the shuttle, Olympus, had exploded on the launch pad. She had never been given a chance to know her grandfather. Stepping back, Madison glanced down the stark white hallway, which gave her the feeling of being in a sterile hospital. The only break in the monotonous white were the colorful collages hanging end to end as far as she could see. Each one represented another mission NASA had sent into space, while the astronaut's family watched from the observation room. She took in a deep breath and continued in the direction her mother had gone. Though her mother was able to ignore the drawings, Madison could not. She took note of the dates and mission numbers etched on the brass plates at the bottom of each board as she moseyed past. The dates continued in succession: 1989, 1990, 1991, until she recognized one of her own drawings on a board with a 2011 date. It was a stick figure of a dog wearing a space helmet. Madison had been 5 years old at the time of her father's first mission. As Madison followed the line of the whiteboards around the corner, the excited voices and laughter from the observation room became louder. Hesitating in the doorway, she glanced inside before entering. Madison had been in this room before, but this time she was old enough to comprehend the dangers fully. She took in a deep breath and let it out slowly. Though a couple dozen people were meandering about, Madison felt alone as she crossed the room. Their faces blurred as they laughed and conversed with each other. Their voices became incomprehensible echoes inside her head as she passed by. On the opposite side of the room, Madison stepped up to one of the large windows that made up the entire outer wall of the observation room. Her worried reflection stared back at her as she glared out over the Banana River. 3 miles away, NASA's latest rocket stood on its launch pad, ready to go. She could barely make out the tiny capsule at the tip of a massive booster where her dad and the 2 other astronauts sat waiting for the final countdown, sitting there on top of millions of pounds of highly volatile rocket fuel. As Madison watched through the glass, another reflection appeared behind her.
"Are you going to add a sketch to the board?"
the man asked, speaking with a heavy German accent.
It's filling up.
Madison took her eyes off the rocket just long enough to look over her shoulder at the new 50-inch touchscreen TV hanging on the wall. A few of the other children stood in front of the device, taking turns writing with a stylus. I was wondering how they were going to fit more drawings in that hallway. Turning back to the window, she continued. I prefer drawing the old way, with a pencil and paper, then hand it to the person I drew it for. The man's eyes followed her stare until he, too, was gazing at the rocket. A flock of seagulls flew past, glistening in the sunlight.
Worried about your dad?
Madison looked up at him. He was a tall man in his early 50s, wearing an outdated striped suit that was a little too small.
You must be the veteran astronaut NASA assigned to our family,
she said, turning back to the window.
Yes, I'm Dr. Laurel Alizar.
No,
Madison said, finally getting around to answering his question.
I'm not worried,
she continued, though she knew it was a lie.
My dad does this all the time.
You know, Dr. Alizar continued, you're not making my job very easy. I'm supposed to be guiding you through this day. You've been avoiding me all morning,
he said, ending with a forced grin.
Well, she said, shrugging. I don't know why they have to assign us a helper. We've been here before, you know.
Dr. Alizar laughed.
Helper, I'd like to think I'm more important than that. I've been up there myself a few times. I understand what you're going through.
I know,
Madison said in an apologetic tone.
It's just that, well, what more can you do?
Let's start with what's bothering you.
Dr. Alizar pulled a chair and sat down, leaning forward on his elbows.
I don't know.
Madison stared out at the launch pad on Cape Canaveral.
I don't want him to go.
Someone has to go.
Dr. Alizar's eyes wandered back toward the rocket. He appeared to have the same concern for her father as she did.
If we want to know what's out there.
He slapped his knees and spoke louder.
And your dad is the best one for the job. That's what happens when you're good at what you do. You get chosen.
But that's not a bad thing.
Your dad's a hero,
he said, stretching his arms out.
No, he's just my dad,
she answered, without taking her eyes off the rocket. Dr. Alizar nodded.
That's not what the rest of the world would say,
he said in a low voice.
What missions did you go on?
Madison asked.
What?
Madison turned to the veteran astronaut. The man looked surprised at the question.
I said, what missions did you go on?
Oh,
Dr. Alizar rubbed his chin.
I was a mission specialist on 2 shuttle launches, back before you were born. I studied the effects of zero gravity on different objects.
He laughed.
Basically, I threw tennis balls around the shuttle. I made everybody mad at me. I'm a physicist with the European Space Agency.
Madison turned back to the window, sighing.
Oh,
is all she said. She thought about her father and how he was about to make the most important spaceflight in Earth's history. Dr. Alizar sat back in his chair.
Here,
he said, as he pulled a round embroidered patch from his pocket.
I saved one of these for you.
Madison took it into her hands and studied it. The NASA mission patch depicted the first crewed flight to Mars. In the center was an image of the new Excalibur, an Orion-class spacecraft with Mars in the background. The names of 3 astronauts encircled the patch. Mission Commander Brad Hankins, Pilot Francis Beckman, and Mission Specialist Michael Clay. She stared at her father's name, rubbing the patch between her fingers.
Dr. Alizar glanced over at Ida, who was checking her watch.
Your Masa seems a bit distracted today.
Madison looked over her shoulder again. Sitting in the last chair closest to the door, her mother fiddled with the pearl necklace adorning the front of her blouse. Madison always felt her mother dressed a little too classy. It attracted a lot of men.
She's worried about missing her hair appointment,
she said. Dr. Alizar laughed.
I guess you two are more used to this than I am. Has some magic worn off already?
Madison shrugged her shoulders, then glanced over at the chair beside her mother, where her backpack sat. It was a dark purple color with metallic blue and yellow designs depicting the 12 zodiac constellations. She never went anywhere without it.
Excuse me,
she said to Dr. Alizar and strutted across the room to retrieve her art supplies from the pack. Dr. Alizar stood to follow but hesitated when the speaker system inside the observation suite sparked to life.
T-minus 90 seconds and counting. All systems are go in about 90 seconds.
A monotone voice cracked. Ida rolled her eyes when she heard the announcement. Finally, she complained as Madison approached. The launch was supposed to have taken place 2 hours earlier, but some unexpected wind had kicked up that morning. As Madison rummaged through her backpack, a waiter carrying a tray of hors d'oeuvres bumped into her mother's chair. Ida's purse fell to the floor, and the man picked it up.
Sorry, ma'am,
he said as he handed it back to her.
Would you like a piece of goat cheese bread?
No, thank you, Ida replied as she glanced at her watch.
As you wish,
the man said. Madison noticed him slip something into his pocket as he stepped away, but didn't give it a second thought. Eager to begin her sketch, she began pulling her drawing pad and pencil set from her backpack. Ida purposely looked the other way when Dr. Alizar approached, hoping he wasn't going to speak to her.
Can I get you anything, Miss Clay?
Oh, she said, turning to the veteran astronaut. Please call me Ida. She glanced toward the windows. No, I'm good.
You know, I don't feel I've been doing my job very well. I'm supposed to be helping ease you through this difficult time.
Oh, don't be foolish, she said politely. We've been through this before. We know the drill. She turned and smiled at Madison.
But your husband will be gone for almost a year this time. That's got to make you feel a little uncomfortable.
Well,
T-minus 60 seconds and counting.
The announcer's voice came back over the speakers. Ida was glad for the interruption. Her smile fell away as soon as Dr. Alizar turned toward the viewing windows.
Show's about to start, he said.
Transferring power to the Excalibur's internal fuel cells at this time,
the announcer continued.
Coming up on a go for auto sequence start.
Most of the people in the suite took their seats. Some stood up near the windows. Ida glanced at her watch again. Madison scurried back to the windows and hunched over her pad on the floor. After taking a quick glance at her subject, she began to sketch. She had drawn so many rocket launches, she could have filled an entire sketchpad with them. But this one was special. During this mission, her father would become the first man to walk on Mars. Dr. Alizar crouched to look over Madison's shoulder as she drew.
I've heard you like to draw. That's a very impressive likeness. I'd like to see some of your other work.
Madison replied, trying not to break her concentration. Dr. Alizar sat back down in his chair and let out a puff of air. Madison did her best to tune him out. The announcer's voice continued to buzz over the speakers.
We have a go for auto sequence start.
Madison could feel her heart begin to race in her chest. She wanted to ignore the anxious feeling and continue her drawing, but she couldn't take her eyes off the launch pad where white clouds of vapor began pouring out of the rocket's engines.
The Excalibur's onboard computers are now in control of all the vehicle's critical functions.